Well, Warren Buffett says, all you need to know if you want to be in business is the experiences that have been felt by people around the world. And I can tell you what, Famous Brands has had some very interesting experiences, some very sore ones. But today, it seems to have applied that lesson into a very exciting opportunity here, moving into Malaysia. We'll hear more in a moment from Terry Boardman, who's the managing executive for the QSR area of Famous Brands. He'll tell us about that in a moment. It's a good deal from the outside, Terry, and I'm sure you're going to tell us more about it in a moment. But first of all, what does QSR stand for?
Yeah, so it covers quick service restaurants, so really your takeaway restaurants in the marketplace, not your traditional sit-down restaurants.
So that tells me, as you are the guy who's behind this whole transaction with a company called Mesra in Malaysia, that it's going to be a similar type of an offering that you're going to be doing with them.
No, 100% right, Alec. We are obviously going in with Steers and Devonair Pizza into the Malaysian market with a great partner in Mesra. They've got lots of experience with retail, and obviously they link to the Petronas Group. So got lots of real estate kind of across the Malaysian landscape. So really a good partner to kind of get into Malaysia with. And we're very excited about it from that point of view.
And I guess the South African connection would have helped a little, given that Petronas is represented here through Engen.
Well, they were. They've sold out their share in Engen. But that's how we kind of linked up with them in terms of the relationship. It was towards the end of their kind of tenure here with Engen, so they're no longer involved there. But that's kind of how the introduction happened, and it's kind of flowed from there. Yeah, great opportunity in the Malaysian market. Just to kind of get in with somebody that's really kind of got the experience, done a very great job of kind of growing retail, especially with their Mesra cafes across the Petronas fuel sites across Malaysia. So very exciting.
Well, we know here, people, those of us who travel on the national roads, that you can pull into an Engen, which, as you say, used to be Petronas, and you could find a Famous Brands brand, a Steers, or definitely Wimpy's. Is it a similar thing that you're going to be doing with them there, or is there a variation on that theme?
No, there's absolutely a variation. I mean, Mesra as a group are trying to expand not only in petroleum, outside of petroleum as well. So even in terms of their Mesra Cafe footprint, it sits outside of petroleum as well. So it's really a retail arm for them, and they're kind of diversifying their business outside of specifically only petroleum. But obviously there's a big opportunity with over 800 kind of petroleum sites across Malaysia, where they currently have their Mesra Cafe and their C-Store environment. Quite a nice opportunity from that point of view.
But what I'm getting at, is it going to be at the garage, at the petrol stations, as we call them here in South Africa?
Yes, we've got our first locations opened in Bangi, which is a suburb just outside Kuala Lumpur. And that is in a petroleum site, but separately to the C-Store. So it's a Debonair's Pizza and a Steers combo that we've initiated there. But there are other opportunities. There's several other opportunities that sit outside of the petroleum network. So obviously the petroleum network is a kind of easy in terms of expansion with the Mesra Group. But there's opportunities sitting outside of that as they expand into other retail environments.
I mentioned at the introduction that Warren Buffett says that business schools, all you actually need to do is take case studies from companies. Now, you've had a case study at Famous Brands. You guys lost a bundle on a takeover of gourmet burger kitchens in the UK, and eventually had to dump that and take a big knock. It's a very different approach that you're following here in Malaysia. So I presume you learned your lessons.
Well, I think at the end of the day, a local partner in terms of Mesra is a key approach to take in terms of finding the right partner. and making that decision in terms of having the right partner in market that understands it, that has the capability and the capacity of resources on the ground already, both from a logistics point of view, as well as from an operational and training point of view. So it's important to choose the right partner when you're going into these markets. I mean, Malaysia is, as we well know, quite an established market in a growth phase, and very similar in terms of the, I suppose, the family unit and the dynamics that we've seen if we compare it to the South African market. So it didn't feel unfamiliar in terms of how we would enter the market with Mesra as a partner and how we would ultimately grow. I suppose the word to say is grow confidently but cautiously in the market rather than going with a big bang. We've got a very clear plan in terms of how we're going to approach that particular market. So it's not about rolling out hundreds of stores within a short space of time. It's about consciously going after those sites and locations that make sense. And we're quite differentiated in the market compared to the international players. So there's a nice opportunity for us to bring something different to the Malaysian market with this particular partnership.
I guess what I'm getting at is, given that this is a partnership, and that's pretty much what you guys are following now, that's the model at Famous Brands, are you likely to be deploying similar partnerships elsewhere in the world, or is this a unique situation?
Well, I mean, we've got partnerships across Africa, as you well know, Alec. We've got master licenses for markets we run ourselves. But in this instance, Malaysia is quite a long way away. And you do need a good partner on the ground that's kind of doing the day-to-day. And we obviously there to support them strategically in building the brands and kind of getting the value proposition right for the market. So from that point of view, yeah, this is, I suppose, what we do very well, which is franchising. And from that point of view, we've got all the systems that we can support them with and ultimately assist them in terms of growing the market responsibly and kind of leveraging the opportunity we have. As I said earlier on, the key here is they're on the ground, they understand what's going on. So this is what I think we do best in terms of our approach. We are a strong franchising kind of company. So from that point of view, this is right up the alley and aligned to kind of how we grow. To answer your question around, are there any ambitions outside of Malaysia to go elsewhere at this point in time, there really is about going deep and narrow with selected markets. So that kind of remains our core from a strategic point of view.
Robertson, a small town in the middle of nowhere where a wine farmer claims to have sold a Volkswagen up to e-bike cars.
A farmer?
What car did you really sell them?
A VW.
Right here in Robertson?
Small town, but we know about e-bike cars.
Yeah, but what's a farmer doing with a VW up?
It was just a runaround.
Cool cover story. And I see you traded it in for this, like a double cab Danay. Were they all out of Rangers?
We buy cars, the easiest way to sell your car by far.
And so we can understand the way that this operates. Do you send a team there to create a distribution center, or do you export Debonairs and Steers products over? How does that actually get put together?
So it's a combination of both, Alec. What we tend to do is we try and bring in some products that are licensed products from South Africa. So, you know, key kind of products that perhaps can't be produced locally. But the idea always for us, how do we kind of grow local manufacturing and support the local? So very much like South Africa in terms of wanting to grow its local economy. So over time, there will be a kind of expansion in terms of not importing everything out of South Africa. We imported quite a lot to kind of kick off because it requires critical mass, as you can well imagine. But down the line, it is about producing locally as much as we can on the ground. So there's a combination of both. We sent out a team to spec and procure with the local manufacturers some of the products, and some of them we shipped in from South Africa for the start.
The tastes, are they very different? You would imagine so?
Funny enough, not. I mean, if you look in terms of the international competitors in the market, they've generally stayed quite true to what their products are. From a taste point of view, there is a little bit of menu variation, and we've done a similar thing. As you can imagine, one key component in the Asian market is rice, as an example. So you will find on the Steers menu, there's rice instead of pap, as an example. So, you know, making those kind of changes from a menu point of view. But generally, the menus are pretty much as they are that you would experience in South Africa. And there's been a great reception in terms of the taste. And as I said, you know, we differentiate in the market in terms of what we stand for. And, you know, we've got the value proposition as well as the unique taste of Debonair's pizza and Steers in the market. So, yeah, the consumers seem to be loving it.
Why did you decide to go with those two brands? You've got a hat full of brands at Famous Brand.
Yes, no, we do. But I mean, I think from an expansion point of view, Mesra were looking for a burger brand as a key kind of component, and Debonair's Pizza obviously had a fit in the market as well. So it was really through engagement with them that we decided those two brands had the kind of best chance. And in terms of how they've kind of performed within the market, there's, you know, great demand in the market. The one thing around the Malaysian market is the frequency of eating out is high within the market. So it really is a culture of going out and eating with family and friends. So they have a high frequency to go out and kind of enjoy fast food and takeaway. And those two brands really were the kind of strong contenders to kind of enter the market. There's lots of demand around both pizza and burgers, and Steers and Debonair's Pizza fit that bill 100%.
They could have gone anywhere in the world. They could have gone and done a deal with British, American, French, whatever, and yet they chose you. You did say that you had that relationship through Engine, which they used to own. So, but how did it actually spark? I mean, having a relationship and then getting on top of the list of potential partners for what must be one of the most appealing partners if you want to enter the Malaysian market is something else. There must be something that swung it for you.
Yeah, I think the one thing that is a big strength of ours in the South African market and even across Africa is we have a very strong halal kind of component in terms of our menu and how we structure it. So through our relationship with Sana here in South Africa, we've obviously built out capability around halal products. And the Malaysian market is nearly 70% Muslim. So you can imagine halal is quite a key component in terms of being able to deliver on that requirement. Experience here, we've got a great supply chain and great support in terms of halal products and obviously the approvals around those particular products in the South African market and Africa. And that was a key kind of determining factor for them, was to have a good, strong halal product and partner from that point of view.
It's interesting, the little things that swing it. Now, Terry, the appeal of that part of the world, we've seen Easy Equities, for instance, working really hard at getting a partnership going with the Philippines. So it's almost like instead of looking west, the innovative businesses like yours are looking east now. Do you think this is going to be a trend where you guys have pioneered that others will be following across, and is it just a one-off?
No, I don't think it's a one-off, Alec. I think there is opportunity in the East. And specifically in markets that are, I think, focused around value. They've got a very similar kind of family ethos in terms of how their family units behave in those particular markets. Where we tend to do quite well in terms of the African market, where there's a strong family bond coming together. Is where we tend to do exceptionally well. So there are some alignments, I think, from a values and a kind of cultural point of view that I think we're able to leverage just in terms of what we've done in the South African and the African market, where there's a strong family unit and, you know, the come around food to bond And in that sense, yeah, we have a strength in that particular area. I think the other point is, you know, the Asian markets and the East is looking for value, and really good value. So from that point of view, I think in terms of how we trade in Africa, where disposable income probably isn't at the levels that it is elsewhere in the world. You know, you've got to fight hard for that value proposition for consumers. So I think we're well positioned from that point of view to really leverage value and, you know, the family unit and deliver a great tasting product in a great environment to kind of leverage that opportunity.
And bringing the conversation home, we're seeing green shoots from the banks in particular, saying that they're having lower bad debts and that their volumes are starting to grow in the money that they're lending out. You guys really are where the tacky hits the tar. In fact, if I were to just put one indicator for the future or how South Africa's economy is going, if I just took your sales, it would at Famous Brands, given your breadth across the country, that would give us a very good indicator. So how are you doing? Are you seeing any of these green shoots that we are or are starting to show themselves elsewhere?
No, there's definitely a little bit of a relief within the economy. You can see it. I mean, the consumer still remains under pressure, no doubt. But if you put up your hand and you kind of fight hard to get them through the door, they're quite receptive to that, but they are out in the market looking for value at every opportunity. And I think you can appreciate that brand loyalty generally within the market that kind of shifted. You've seen lots of consumers kind of shifting to other brands, whether it be in retail or elsewhere. So the loyalty hasn't been at the levels that it normally is, but you've got to go and fight hard for it. So definitely some green shoots starting to show in terms of the consumer, but you can see that it's still under pressure. No doubt you've got to work hard for it. You know, it's not business as usual. You've really got to dig deep. You really got to put up your hand. You really got to go out there and the consumer compelling offer and proposition for them to come and, you know, frequent your particular establishment. So not easy at the moment. And I think that there definitely is a little bit of green shoots starting to show in pockets. I think what we need is momentum, right, across the economy over an extended period of time in order really to gain that momentum and start to build.
Mm. Yeah, and let's see that flywheel starting to move more rapidly. Terry, just two last things. During the COVID era, there was a explosion in dark kitchens. In other words, guys who were producing products and selling them through delivery vehicles, Mr. D and so on. How are they still around? Are they still fighting for that rand that, as you said, is very difficult to catch from consumers?
You know, Alec, I think convenience rules in terms of this particular category. So, you know, if you're conveniently placed, you'll do the business. The challenge with dark kitchens is they were very much the kind of buzzword coming out of COVID. A lot of those companies that were looking to expand haven't quite done what the expectations were. And I think the challenge with dark kitchens is you've got so many offers and proliferation of bricks and mortar as well as those that deliver out of those bricks and mortar locations, that it's quite difficult to compete when every morning you're waking up and the only way that you're going to do business is by ensuring that you compete online, which is a very competitive place. So you don't have any walking clientele. So our dark kitchens, I think, have gone a little bit off the boil in terms of a great growth opportunity within the market, just because I think third-party aggregators have kind of, I suppose, democratized delivery and convenience. And we've got the grocery guys also in the play at the moment. So, you know, convenience is everywhere. So a dark kitchen doesn't necessarily differentiate you in the market.
And that's, you know, my final question is on convenience. We see process in which we as South Africans have at least 12% of our equity slice in there, given their huge share on the JSE. But they've made a massive bet on deliveries, on food deliveries in particular. Now, you've got to be better placed than most to give us an assessment on whether that's a long-term growth market, given that you would be seeing how that is, or the percentage of that relative to your in-store purchases. Can you share some of your insights with us on perhaps the future of the food delivery sector?
I think food delivery is here to stay, Alec, and will continue to grow. As I said earlier on, the consumer is looking for absolute convenience, and that's one way to get it. But there are other elements of convenience, as you well know. Being an arm's reach is one element. Drive-throughs is another element in terms of that capability. So delivery is not kind of the only option in terms of convenience. It is a channel that continues to grow and I think continues to appeal to the consumer around sitting at home and having the convenience of it delivered to your door without any hassle. So, yeah, we continue to see that grow, and we're investing aggressively around our own capability as well. And we've been doing so for many years now. So, yeah, we see it as the sum of the parts. You've got to have your own capability. You've got to be able to leverage third-party aggregators out there in terms of their growth potential and being on the shelf for consumers and offering their convenience. But, yeah, it's not, I think, the one silver bullet that is going to be the be and end all. There's consumers are still looking to go out, sit with their families in a nice environment and kind of escape being at home as well. So there's a combination of everything. So I don't think it's just one that's going to win and everything else kind of deteriorates over time. I think it's a combination of all the sums and offering convenience in every aspect that you can, from the in-store experience to home delivery to things like drive-through, and just being placed for the consumer so that it's as convenient and as seamless for them to interact with you as possible.
And you're big on partnerships with Walmart here now, also going into convenience. Checkers, 6060, and Mr. D, and your own debonair BuzzBucks that have been around for a long time. Are you partnering with everybody, or are there any strategic alliances there?
No, I mean, we will kind of partner with those that I think are strategically aligned to where we want to take our business. So we are aligned with the two big third-party aggregators currently in terms of Uber Eats and Mr. Delivery in the market with our brands. But we have an open door kind of policy, Alec. You know, we'll look at any partnership that makes sense strategically and that is sustainable in the long term. We're not looking for kind of flash in the pan kind of approach. It is about long-term sustainability and importantly, sustainability around profitability for our franchise partners. So, you know, they're a key component to our business. And we've got to ensure that from that point of view, their business is sustainable in the long term as well. So the partnerships really are anchored around the fact that we are a franchise business and we've got to look after our franchise partners and ensure that they succeed in the long term as well.
Terry Boardman is the managing executive for QSR at Famous Brands. Gave us a very useful insight into how his sector of the market is evolving and indeed the story of the partnership in Malaysia. And I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.